The Morning Brew is brought to you by West Rock Coffee.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna keep lightning, and you're gonna crack thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat!
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on!
We're good, yeah. You know, and obviously with the first period like that, it was very exciting and easy to get into the game. And I wasn't worried about that part of it. You know, it's playoff hockey. You just get thrown into the fire and you do what you can to help contribute to the team. So it's a great feeling to be back and helping out the team.
Gabe Landeskog showing no signs of rust after that 7-week layoff. The Avalanche showing no signs of that sluggish finish to the season, which all the Chicken Little Marilats were like, and your faithful award-winning hockey podcast guy right here, I told you, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Nothing to see here. They'll be fine. And boy, did they send a message in that first period. Mark, as you like to say, what was the ice during that first period?
That was tilted. The ice was tilted. All 200 feet of it. Hey, by the way, the Landeskog, you know, it's kind of the own goal, but the Landeskog goal, just him in front of the net, that big body in front of the net, just in there grinding guys, trying to hit him and get him out of there, and he's just camped out in front of the goaltender. Like, that to me is playoff. You need some of that, right? You need a guy that can do that, and he gives you that presence able to be there and just kind of be nasty, muck it up in front of the goaltender.
What was great was, while it was still a hockey game, the Avalanche were clearly the far more skilled team, but they were the tougher team.
Yeah.
Now, Nashville at the end tried to goon it up, and good job by the Avs, especially Nazem Kadri not taking the pain, because you could tell there that
they
was,
were you could you knew they're trying to get under hit, right? They, you knew they're trying times. To go. Can we trigger this guy and get him suspended?
Yep.
Not that. Hey, listen. Not that that is going to matter. Based on the hockey I saw, they could lose Gadram and a bunch of dudes, and it's not going to matter in this series. But good on him for not taking the bait.
Next on the Morning Brew.
We wanted to have a strong start. Looking back, even on last year, I don't know if it was St. Louis or Vegas, the first game, obviously, we felt dominant. And then the second game, it's always a little bit tighter battle. They're going to have their best effort. And again, from our end, we just have to up that.
Cale Makar, the goal that he scored. Remember the goal he scored earlier this year against Chicago, where, you know, he started towards the goal, turned back, and then quickly wheeled back around and scored. And at the time, it was the goal of the year. I think because this is the playoffs, maybe this becomes the goal of the year. And I can't help but think, he'll never admit to it. But he's out there on the ice with Nashville's Roman Josi, who is going to likely, he's the favorite to win the Norris Trophy as the league's best defenseman. And I can't help but think that Makar, probably aware of that, is going to use this series. Not that he needs motivation.
Right.
But a little extra motivation. Hey, one-on-one, head-to-head against this guy, let me show everybody who the real best defenseman is.
Is there a defenseman? Because I just marvel at his athleticism and speed, stick handling, everything. Like, is there a defenseman that you could think of that has better speed than Makar?
You'd have to go back and look at the defenseman in the run-and-gun 80s hockey, where you had those really Paul Coffey, Phil Housley, Brian Leetch types. I know I'm going back a ways, but to find as athletic a defenseman as you'll find in Makar. Makar's the kind of guy you look at and go, you know, the Avalanche ever found themselves short for a forward?
Yeah, just put him
up there. I have no doubt he could be a 20-goal scorer.
I have one. Like, I want Makar to be here for a very long time, win a bunch of Stanley Cups, and get, you know, awarded with everything. And then, late in his career, I would just like him to play like Borky. Do the opposite of Bork. The Messiah. 1 year in Boston, just so they can say, McCap! We got McCap! Gonna lead us to the promised land.
I played college hockey out there, so he might be able to drop you a good Cale Makar.
McCast.
on the Morning Brew.
Pitching is about location. On a given night, you might get fortunate with, you know, not making a bunch of quality pitches. You might, you know, line drive outs and such. But tonight, and with other nights with Herman, the fastball's in bad spots. If you look at tonight's game, a couple base hits in the third, they came in swinging the bats. So you got to give them some credit.
Wow, what is going on with Herman Marquez? I got to give D-Mac credit for this one. With the way he's pitching, right now he's just German.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I laughed at that one. He's 0-2 with a 6.92 ERA.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I've noticed early in the season is he has just been relying so much more on off-speed stuff, so much more on a slider, and it's as though he doesn't trust that he can locate his fastball. Here's a guy that you know, will run it up and sit at 96, 95, 96, 97, and I don't know what the stats say. I just have, you know, I just watch a lot of Rockies baseball, and every time I watch him pitch, I'm like, you know, he's almost pitching backwards, which is fine if you've got, like, hey, pitching backwards is fine if you've got, a wipeout slider or a wipeout curveball and you can spot your fastball. But, like, I look at him, I just don't believe that he can locate or that he feels comfortable or confident in hitting 96 in a location. And so he's staying away from it. Mike, and I'll tell you what, man, he's just been incredibly hittable. I think he gave up 7 hits yesterday, yeah. Or 10 hits.
10 hits, 7 runs.
7 runs, 10 hits yesterday.
Next on the Morning Brew.
You got a toothbrush? We're going to London. Do you hear that? I'm coming to London.
Broncos are going to London, everybody. October 30th to play the Jacksonville Jaguars. A 7:30 a.m. Mountain Time kickoff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, good news, this does not count as a home game. For the Broncos, it's a road game.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think there is a downside. There's one downside
to it.
Okay,
what is it?
Their bye week's going to be real early in the season. Because when you play in London, you typically get the next week off, right? So their bye week is going to be like, what, October 30th? Their bye week's going to be like
the first week of November.
Six?
No, it'll be week 7. Yeah.
In a 17-game season.
But here's what you sell yourself on.
Yeah.
This is the psychology of bye weeks. And trust me, there's nobody that likes the psychology of bye weeks better than me. What you'll do is, like, when you get one late, like week 11, week 12, you say, hey, man, this is the perfect time for a bye week. This is Mike Shanahan 101. It's the perfect time for a bye week. We've gotten 3/4 of the season done. We'll get a rest. We'll get fresh for our playoff push. Oh, you sold it, Coach. Then when you get one here to like week 7, you're like, hey, this is a perfect time of the bye week. You know why? Because if you think about when we went to training camp, you're actually dead center in the middle of the season.
Ah.
This is the perfect time for bye week, right?
Shanny psychology.
Yes, it
Love
is.
Love it. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30.